All right, I am in Miami at the annual media night for the teams in the Super Bowl. There are cheerleaders, there are fans, there are mascots. There's a guy inexplicably dressed up as a young Andy Reid. And just down the way, there's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan answering some difficult questions.
I can speak firsthand that, guys, I've been a part of a Super Bowl, and a lot of people blame me for a lot of stuff, and you know what? I'm still alive, and I was all right the next day. You know what I'm happy for is you go as hard as you can, you do as good as you can, and you live with the consequences.
Today, how Kyle went from giving up a 28-3 lead in Super Bowl 51 to obliterating NFL defenses. And why that devastating defeat could help him win on Sunday. I'm Mina Gimes, and this is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Hi, Seth.
How you doing?
Seth Wickersham is a senior writer at ESPN and has covered Kyle Shanahan since 2006. Seth, this Sunday we have a battle between two highly respected head coaches in Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan. Andy Reid has been head coach for 21 years and has sort of become a lovable folk hero around the league. How would you describe Kyle Shanahan?
Well, I don't think Kyle is the lovable folk hero of the NFL. That's definitely for sure. He's a younger guy and he's kind of an assassin. And we got everybody who in the league who right now is rooting for Andy Reid. He's older. He's been around. He's had a lot of horrific playoff failures. People kind of think, well, Kyle will get his. And I think, you know, that's interesting going to this game because they both have Super Bowl scars. You know, you have Andy Reid from the 2004 season when they lost by only 3 points.
And the Patriots will kneel down and the seconds will tick away. And yet, as great a game as it was, and as much as you have to respect the Eagles, it still remains a painful, painful defeat.
And then, of course, you have Kyle's scar, and that's maybe a bigger one, when they lost the 28-3 lead a couple years ago.
Toss sweep right for James White. Cuts it up with the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line. It's a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
One of the ways in which Andy and Kyle are similar, Seth, is that they are both brilliant offensive minds, maybe the two best offensive coaches in the NFL. And Shanahan in particular, I think, is seen as something of a football genius these days, despite 28-3. I don't know if you watch the show Succession, Seth, but people compare Kyle to Kendall Roy, who, for those who don't know, is sort of the scion of this wealthy family. Really, he looks like the actor. But I think it's also because, you know, he's the son of a famous legendary coach. Mike Shanahan is one of the most famous coaches of all time. And also, he seems to have that sort of cold-blooded killer personality. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I mean, you know, if you're someone like Kyle, you've been raised in football. When Mike was really making his run with the Broncos and they were winning Super Bowls, Kyle was a teenager, and so he would just hang around his dad nonstop.
You have any favorite memories from your time in Denver while your dad was coaching there?
All of them. I mean, it was a great time. I mean, just going through that run in high school, you know, they won their first Super Bowl my senior year in high school, which was real neat. And that was back when they didn't have wireless cords, so I was always the cord boy holding my dad's cords, which got made fun of a lot for it. But after that Green Bay Super Bowl, they went wireless the next year. So I think they only won one more because they didn't have as good of a cord holder. That's what I always told my dad. But, you know, that stuff was really fun. And
he's just had exposure his entire life from such a close proximity to those types of moments. Kyle is a coach. You know, he loves being alone in his office, looking at film, trying to unlock any weakness in the defense. When you get him going on something, if he's outside of the facility, he can be like incredibly funny and cool to be around. But when he's in the facility, I mean, something switches in him. One of his very first meetings with 49ers staff, he actually said, like, look, if I walk by you in the hallway and you say hi to me and I don't even respond, I'm sorry in advance. Please don't take it personally. Like, I just get so geared up and so in my head that, like, he almost, like, detaches from the known world.
As you mentioned, Kyle was steeped in the game from basically when he was born. He goes from coaching wide receivers to becoming an offensive coordinator at a very young age. What were the early years of his career like?
He's always been a great offensive mind, even in Washington and even in Cleveland when he didn't quite, you know, get the credit that he deserved. Kyle, of course, was the offensive coordinator for the Browns for a time, only a year. Everyone always sort of wondered, like, you know, why he got out after a year. Of course, now it's obvious. But at the time, people kind of looked at Kyle differently, like, okay, you know, is he being a little petulant, you know, or things not going well, so he wants an escape route. He wanted out so badly, he went to the head coach with a list of 32 points as to why he wanted out. I don't know if the 32 were the other 32 teams, but he came to the head coach and said, I want out. Here are my 32 reasons why. And they released him from his contract.
Something that I think strikes me about some of those teams that he coached or coached the offense, you know, Cleveland, Washington, Houston, Atlanta, they were all really good offenses, maybe underrated in retrospect.
Yeah, no doubt. And he did it with different types of quarterbacks. And I think that's one of the most interesting things is, you know, he did it with Matt Schaub. He did it with RG3. He did it with Rex Grossman. That's one of the marks of a good coach is, you know, can you adapt? And, you know, you talk about his dad. His dad beat the Patriots during the Patriots' early run, which was a defensive-dominated team with Jake Plummer, with Danny Cannell. I mean, these, you know, it wasn't like he had John Elway the entire time. And so I think that it's one of the things that Kyle learned was that you've got to be able to stay ahead of the defense on offense, regardless of personnel.
You mentioned that Kyle coached with a lot of different quarterbacks over the years when he was rising up as an offensive coordinator. How did his approach evolve by the time he arrived in Atlanta in 2015 as their offensive coordinator?
Well, I think that he was one of those guys that was kind of underrated, which is kind of weird given that, you know, you think about him as coming in, being Mike Shanahan's son and being overrated, if anything. I don't think people realize just quite how good he was. When he got to Atlanta, you had a deep roster, a veteran quarterback, and, you know, they really took off.
Play fake to Freeman. Ryan wants to throw. Jones to catch.
Look out!
Flag down midfield. Julio into Green Bay territory. A stiff arm at the 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Atlanta. Ryan steps up in the pocket. Matt pumps. Runs. 10. 5. Does he score? He does. A rushing touchdown for Matt. And the ball game is over. Dan Quinn in year two has taken Atlanta to the Super Bowl.
So the Falcons make it to Super Bowl 51 against New England. It's in Houston. Seth, you and I are there. We're in the stadium. Falcons fans are thriving. They're happy. They're vibrant. In that moment, how do you remember feeling?
Well, I think that when Brady threw the pick six at the end of the first half is when I was like, wow, this might get out of control.
Shotgun snap, hit as he throws, short pass, it's intercepted. It's picked off by Alford. He caught it, goal line 20, near side 30. He broke a tackle 40, down the sideline 50, 40, 30 on the near sideline 20. He walks into the end zone, touchdown Atlanta!
Brady looked exposed and the Patriots looked exposed and it just looked like it was the Falcons' day. And then they came out in the third quarter, score a touchdown, they're up 20-3. And you're like, this is insane because not only are the Patriots, who no matter what, win or lose, always play in exciting Super Bowls, they're going to lose in a blowout. And then it was an epic collapse.
Shotgun snap on 3rd and 2. 3 minutes in. Here comes Dante Hightower. The ball charged free. It flips in the air. Ryan was back to throw. His arm was caught. It's a fumble and it's a turnover. And New England has gotten it. And Branch went zeroing in.
Matt Ryan gets strip sacked. That's kind of the beginning. It felt like, I want to say a horror movie, but that doesn't feel quite right to capture the level of dread in the stadium. It was kind of like a slow-moving train wreck where this kind of air of terrible inevitability begins to slowly sink over the stadium. Then, with 5 minutes left, Atlanta is up by a score. What happened?
The Falcons just completely self-destructed. They're at the 22-yard line with just over 3 minutes left. All they need is a field goal. They are Super Bowl champions if they get it. First down at the 23, they hand off, they lose a yard. Second down. Matt Ryan is sacked.
He moves. He's grabbed. He's sacked. Down again he goes. They throw him back to the 35 of New England. It's a loss of 12.
Third down. He completes a pass to get them back into field goal range. Only there's a holding penalty. And the next thing you know, it's third and like 31. And it's like, what do you do? I don't care how brilliant Kyle Shanahan is. There is no play that he has for third and 31 in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots.
Then the Patriots get the ball back, force overtime, and the rest is history.
In the first overtime, they'll toss it to White, left or right side. White will cut back, and he will get in. And James White has won the Super Bowl for New England.
Every now and then that game comes on NFL Network on replay, and I still have no idea how the Falcons completely lost that game. It just seems like they should win every time you watch it. And, you know, Kyle took the blame for that. I mean, people really came after him.
Arrogance is what did him in. Like, trying to get cute seemed to be what did Shanahan in that circumstance. We have anointed him that genius, and he tried to do genius stuff when all they needed to do, run the ball. That's it. Run the ball three times and let your kicker kick it in a dome. Instead, they didn't even get any time off the clock.
Kyle is an aggressive coach. He remained aggressive then, and it completely backfired on him. It's one of those things that stuck with him.
I remember every single play, and I will go over those for the rest of my life. It's kind of the life we live as coaches, and that's magnified in the Super Bowl, but it's also that case in every game. And in terms of when you use the words, I blew it, I don't look at it that way. I believe I missed an opportunity. And, you know, we didn't get it done. I'll go back through every play through that for the rest of my life.
It's a scar on him, and it's a black mark on his resume. But in the same sense, it wasn't just on him. I mean, you know, they had a 25-point lead, and the defense couldn't get any stop at any time. On first down, second down, third down, fourth down, on two-point conversions, it wasn't just his fault. A month after that game, he was at the NFL Combine, and he met with Bill Belichick alone, and they met for hours. And he wanted to talk to Bill about being a head coach, but he also wanted to talk to him about that game and what went wrong. And it was something that Belichick really respected, that Kyle had gone and done that. And I actually think it helped pave the way for the Jimmy Garoppolo trade.
Coming up, how the 49ers landed their franchise quarterback.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So Kyle Shanahan has just had what is probably the worst game of his life. Literally, Seth, the next day, he is announced as the new head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. How did that transpire?
Well, the 49ers had fumbled around with head coaches for a couple years, and they had initially looked to hire Josh McDaniels from the Patriots. He pulls out, and I think after that, they knew it was Kyle.
You know, I want to be a head coach my whole life, but it wasn't something that I was just going to do. It's something I'd like to do forever, and the only way you can do that is if you have a good opportunity to win somewhere. And it's not easy to win in this league. It's not easy at all, but when you have everyone go in the same direction.
So he gets there, and they had given the head coach the power to hire the GM. And John Lynch, you know, who had played for the Buccaneers, played for the Denver Broncos under Mike Shanahan, knew Kyle a little bit because he had broadcast some of Kyle's games when Lynch was a broadcaster for Fox, you know, calls him and kind of raises his hand. Hey, put me in, coach. You know, it's really startling to think about. You think about Kyle Shanahan getting a head coaching opportunity and, you know, yes, he got a 6-year contract, but these jobs don't come around that often. And to think that, you know, he gave the business of running personnel and to a certain extent, you know, running a large part of the team to a broadcaster who had zero personnel experience is really fascinating.
How was the decision received in San Francisco?
Well, I think people were surprised and shocked, and you know, there was a lot of criticism about it because, you know, you have people like John Elway, Ozzie Newsome, former players who go into management, but they paid some dues at least. You know, Elway ran an AFL team. You know, Ozzie Newsome started as a scout. You know, Lynch had come straight out of the broadcasting booth, and a lot of people were like, look, these are prize jobs. Why is he getting this? And I think that one of the interesting things about John Lynch that he inherently understood was that being a general manager is as much or more about leading a team than it is picking players. You know, he likes being a face for the team in moments where Kyle would rather just game plan. And so in a weird way, even though they didn't know each other well, they complemented each other in a way that's more dynamic and deeper than we often think about a coach-GM relationship.
So they get off to a rocky start. They're 0-9 at the beginning of that first season. But then they land Jimmy G. And as you mentioned before, Shanahan laid the groundwork with Belichick after Super Bowl 51. But how did the actual trade come about?
Belichick has had a lot of respect for Mike Shanahan. They competed against each other going back to the Super Bowl when the Broncos played the Giants in 1986. And, you know, they were kind of peers. And, you know, for a while, it looked like Mike was the best coach of that generation. And then Belichick came and he took that. And, you know, when Spygate hit in 2017, Roger Goodell called Mike Shanahan to try to ask him about what he thought about what the Patriots were doing and how much of an advantage did it get. And you know, Mike had Belichick's back. And Bill Belichick never forgot that. Then you have Kyle come along, who's turned Matt Ryan into an MVP. Obviously, somebody that Bill respected a lot, that he was willing to go through and dissect, you know, that painful of a loss so soon after it happened and just pick his brain broader about what it's like to be a head coach in the NFL. And so fast forward to October, you know, Belichick had told everybody, I'm not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. He had told people in the building, outside the building, teams that called. Right before the trading deadline, Kyle Shanahan wakes up one day with a text message from Bill Belichick saying, give me a call. And Kyle called him and Bill offered Jimmy to the 49ers for a second rounder. The 49ers brass discusses this. They actually thought Belichick was posturing. And so they prepared a bigger counter to send back to the Patriots in the event that it came to that. But he wasn't posturing. He wanted to make that deal. And when he sent Jimmy to San Francisco, he talked at length publicly at his next press conference about how highly he thought of Jimmy and how highly he thought of Kyle Shanahan. He definitely wanted Jimmy to be successful and saw that Kyle was someone who would help get the best out of him. It's one of those crazy things. I mean, the 49ers, Kyle and John were planning to go after Kirk Cousins. I mean, you know, the Shanahans, especially Kyle, loved Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington. They drafted him the same year as RG3. And then Jimmy kind of fell in their laps and changed their plans. And, you know, the rest is history.
It's interesting that you sort of describe him as falling into their laps because, you know, for all of the praise that Shanahan Lynch deserve for the culture, some of the decisions they've made, there's also been a fair amount of luck, right? I mean, Jimmy comes in, he plays well, but then he gets hurt. They have a terrible record. They end up with the number 2 pick in the draft last year, and Arizona decides they want Kyler Murray. So Nick Bosa, the best pass rusher in football, also lands in their lap.
Yeah, their last year was weird. I mean, so, you know, obviously they're thinking playoffs entering the year because Garoppolo, I think, had gone 5-0 as a starter when they first traded for him. So they're thinking playoffs. You know, Jimmy doesn't go out of bounds, blows out his knee. Their season is kind of over. But it was really odd because they lost a lot of games the rest of the year, but they lost them most of them, at least they lost them close. And so it was like a perfect scenario because nobody wants to tank. But if you're not going to make the playoffs, you'd rather have, you know, one of the top three picks if you can get it. And so they ended up getting the second pick in the draft as they built confidence as a team because they were right there.
When I look at this Niners team, Seth, I see a lot of players who are just perfect for Kyle Shanahan's scheme. I thought about that in the NFC Championship, watching Raheem Mostert, who's an unusual running back. He's sort of taller and faster and a little skinnier and is just absolutely perfect for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. When you look at this Niners roster, do you just see his fingerprints all over it?
Absolutely. When Kyle Shanahan would interview for jobs, both as an offensive coordinator and as a head coach, he could tell you exactly the traits and the skill set and even the personality traits that he wanted in each player on offense. It blew people away how detailed he was in terms of what he wanted for the type of system that he wanted to run. So if he uses that as a baseline, they're able to scout for that. They can find those traits. And then Kyle and his staff are really imaginative and they can figure out ways to deploy that talent almost regardless of, you know, who it is. They're not scouting for football players. They're scouting for their football players. And at least right now, the 49ers have captured that.
So, Seth, all of Kyle's decisions, everything that's happened over the last couple of years has paid off for him. They're in the Super Bowl. How often do you think 28-3 is going to come up this week?
You know, it'll come up a lot early. Because, you know, I think the reporters will finally have that access to Kyle and want to talk to him about it. But, you know, these things kind of peter out as the week goes on. I mean, you know how it is. By Friday, we're all just so exhausted. We're exhausted of everything that everybody has to say about the game. We're just like, get us to the game. It is so exhausting. It's like, you know, almost like, you know, before you get married, you're just like, please, we've been planning this forever. Like, let's just get this thing over with. But, you know, it was pretty clear the other night when they beat the Packers because 49ers were dominating that entire game. The game itself was never really in question. And yet, you know, Kyle didn't smile until the thing was over. After the game, he said, you know, I know better than to ever count out a football team until the clock hits zero.
I am never comfortable in games until it's officially over. And once it was officially over, I got bombarded by everyone. And I'm sure I'll feel those injuries tomorrow.
And that to me shows that he's learned something from that game and that game still haunts him. It's something that he still carries with him, but in a positive way.
Thanks, Seth.
Thank you, Mina.
Coming up, we remember the lives of those who died in the tragic accident that claimed Kobe Bryant's life.
Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/pass the protection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/pass the protection.
Here's another story I want you to know. Over the last 24 hours, the sports world has mourned the deaths of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. They were among 9 people who died on Sunday in a helicopter crash in Calabasas. Since the initial report emerged, we have learned more about the others killed in the accident, and I'd like to tell you about them. The group was headed to a basketball tournament at Kobe's Mamba Sports Academy, and basketball was the thread that connected them all. Along with the pilot, Ara Zabayan, there were 2 girls who played with Gianna in the helicopter, Alyssa Altobelli and Peyton Chester. Peyton's mother, Sarah, was with her, as well as a teacher named Christina Mauser, who was a basketball coach who had led Gianna's team to a championship in 2017. Alyssa was accompanied by her own parents, John and Carrie. Much like Kobe, John Altobelli was a devoted basketball dad who cast a long shadow in his own sport, baseball. He coached junior college baseball at Orange Coast College for 27 years, winning over 700 games and four California Community College championships. He also managed in the Alaskan League and Cape Cod League, where he coached future MLB stars Aaron Judge and Jeff McNeil. On Sunday, McNeil tweeted, "Both the baseball and basketball worlds lost a great one today." According to The Athletic's Fabian Ardaya, on Sunday, after the news of Altobelli's death was reported, a crowd of his current and former players showed up at the Orange Coast baseball field, also known as the House That Alto Built, to share memories of their beloved coach. Altobelli will be missed by many, many people, as will everyone else who was on the helicopter that day. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.